Okay, so we're here in Barceloneta, and there's a girl gluing or putting glue on a Somos something. Maybe you could explain a little bit about what you're doing at the moment.
Well, I'm actually making a very large oversized pair of underwear here, and there's an image of a clothing line on it, and it says Somos Miles, which means we are thousands, or we are Miles, as in Miles de Viviendas, which is the name of the house here that is under threat of eviction in the Barceloneta neighborhood.
Okay, and could you just explain a little bit for people who can't see it, or explain the situation of where it is in this area in Barcelona?
Yeah, Miles de Viviendas is a squatted social center and also a place where people live. It's on the street Joan de Robó, 11, in Barceloneta, and it's in the Barceloneta neighborhood, which is a traditional marine port neighborhood. It's where the beach in Barcelona is. It's a really high traffic tourist neighborhood, and it's also a neighborhood that's under threat of really changing and being gentrified dramatically in the upcoming year. And this house, which is under threat of eviction, will probably be one of the first houses to get destroyed in this kind of overarching master plan that they have to change the neighborhood.
And could you just give a little bit of the history of the building? Like, how long has it been occupied, and what was its use beforehand?
Sure. This building is actually one of the oldest buildings in the neighborhood. It was initially a Guardia Civil barracks. It was the place where the Guardia Civil, which is one of the police forces in Barcelona, they lived here. It was abandoned for about 10, 15 years, I'm not sure, and then it was squatted about 2 years by the Miles de Viviendas Collective. And so we've been here for the last 2 years, basically opening up the space, living here, having our daily life here, and also having an extremely active social center and street life. And this November we recently opened also a pirate university, the Universidad Pirata, here in Miles, and sort of the base of operations for the free university.
Okay. And could you just about the actual occupation? Like, was the building blocked up, or was there any extraordinary things that had to be done to secure the occupation?
I wasn't here when it was squatted, so I can't tell you everything. I have seen some video of it. I know that they first entered and then basically had a sort of street party out in front of the building, and had like a public celebration and opening when they blasted open the front doors with music, and it was extremely beautiful.
Yeah. And then in terms of the I suppose the wider situation which is happening in Barcelona at the moment, it seems that a lot of the squats are being shut down by the authorities. There always has been squats being shut down by the authorities, but is it right to say that the authorities have stepped up their actions against squats, especially the active ones that are active social centres that are positive, a space of positive resistance, of dissent, of demonstrating alternatives? Like, it seems like a strategy to kind of take out these hubs in Barcelona. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I definitely see it that way. I mean, you and me have been here a similar amount of time, and definitely in the half of the year that you and I have been here, they've absolutely been shutting down, evicting, closing down in any way they can a huge amount of social centres and a huge amount of squats. I mean, they're just evicting many every week. When the Macabre Social Center was evicted, if you remember, there was lots of news saying that there was 350 squatted social centers or squats with a K, Ocupas con K, that were here in Barcelona, and they've just they've been really evicting tons of them. There's been many evictions every week, and I'm not sure if there's been as many squats that have been opened. I hope that the ratio of new buildings that are being opened to squats that are being shut down is equal, but I fear that it's not, because they're really sort of developing this new strategy of Desalojo Express, as the people call it,
In the olden times, or maybe months ago or years ago, the actual process, the process of going through the legal system and getting the actual papers to remove people or to force the eviction, it could take months, or sometimes it could take years, whereas now it can in a week a squat can be closed. So they're changing the way they're playing the game.
Totally, which is partially just a strategy of doing illegal evictions. It seems like in part, it seems like a lot of the evictions that have happened recently have been without any notice whatsoever, or that people have been in a legal process and then were not informed that the legal process changed. So I think a lot of their strategy is just evict first and answer questions later.
Yeah. And then, if you could just talk a little bit more about the squats that are social centres, some are social centres and some are simply spaces for living. But the ones that are social centres, could you just try to explain a little bit more about what they try to achieve and the kind of diversity of things that happen in these spaces throughout the city?
Well, there's a ton of them, and some of the ones that were most exciting to me that I witnessed have also been the ones that have been shutting down. But yeah, there's, like you said, there's a huge amount of diversity between them. They range, the things they have in common is that generally there's also people living there, although of course there's some locales that people don't live in. They all have public activities and basically open up spaces for people to use, for groups to meet, for groups that otherwise wouldn't have a location. A lot of them have cafetas, have spaces where people can socialize and can join together, which is something that really helps the social movements, it seems, a lot in Barcelona, is having this incredible amount of space to do things, to experiment, to make culture, and also to plan resistance. And like I said, they really range in terms of the kinds of subcultures and non-subcultures who use them and the overlap between those. Everything from Camasdeo, that's this really incredible agroecological sort of learning center and garden, which is really, intending to start a sort of rural-urban agriculture movement in Barcelona, as well as a place called San Pascual that also has this similar stuff. A lot of really interesting permaculture projects going on. There were the social centers around the Forat, which were also involved in gardening. There's a lot of stuff going on around gardening right now. There's spaces that are more cultural, like Bahia, La Macabra, which there was a huge, whole range of different sorts of activities of dance and, lots of self-organized learning and culture going on. As well as just, being centers where people can organize. There's also, of course, a lot of social centers that are not squatted, but are sort of part of the same continuum, like InfoSpy, Spadobir.
Yeah. And just these centres, they're not, although some of them might end up being a little bit like this, but for the most part they're not kind of closed door type things. It's only for a certain type of people who are allowed to come in. Like, they try to be as open as possible, to put on things like what you've been doing here for the last few days in Miles, putting on free theatre, free music, free shows, free films. And if anybody's interested, they can just come down and find out about it, and if they feel excited by it, maybe start to find out more and maybe even participate. Is that kind of the key to this, sort of trying to demonstrate or to excite people to find out about something and maybe to see that they can also participate?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it of course really depends on the social center, but if it's the social center, on some level it's about being social, right? So the ones that are social centers, absolutely. And I think a large emphasis is having free or almost free events constantly, which of course is really hard to find in a city like Barcelona that's increasingly impossible to do anything without paying money to do it. And so having so many spaces that are of gratuity and exchange and barter, many social centers have like what we have, which is the Tienda Gratis, which is like a free exchange of clothing and objects, which really creates this kind of amazing free economy of trash. Like, we're really recycling trash in an incredible way, I think, between all of the social centers. The thing that really I think brings together a lot of the social centers as well is the really impressive communications infrastructure that exists in Barcelona that I've never witnessed in any other city myself, which a lot of which is being organized out of this space in InfoSpy, where a lot of the kind of telecommunications infrastructure of the social movements in Barcelona are based, as well as like the Sindominio .net web server, as well as like a wireless Sensfields RED, which is like the wireless network that the social centers are connected through, and we all have wireless internet that way that we pay for, but it's very cheap because we share it. The really amazing thing is that you can go to sindominio.net and look and see what all of the activities are in all of the social centers for the week. in these websites, and it's truly incredible the way that they sort of network communication between them.
And then apart from the kind of that more technical side of the communication, there's also the more low tech, like the world of flyers, of the info SERPA,
exactly.
of the contra infos, like
exactly.
and the radio stations, I suppose, which is kind of maybe a little bit more high tech, but like the lowest tech of all, just the written stuff being distributed and that free exchange.
Right. That's actually what I was referring to, is the info SERPA. The distribution of flyers is really, you know, weekly distribution of flyers and events information between all of the houses.
And could you just say, explain it? The other day there was an anarchist walking tour around the city, and some of the people from London who were, you know, busy and have been very busy doing their things, when they had what the info SERPA is explained to them, they're like, oh my God, like, this place is so organised, and no wonder so many people get lost to come here. But for people who aren't familiar with info SERPA, could you just explain how that mechanism works?
It's actually fairly simple. Barcelona is not an enormous city, and so basically what happens is there's one location that all of the different squatted social centers or other social centers bring their flyers and information and calendars to one day a week, and the next day it gets taken to a point of distribution where they all come and pick them up, and they take whatever they want that interests them, groups, you know, activities that are fin, and take them back to their social center and generally hang them on the wall outside. And so that way, basically, there's every week a really, really, you know, constant flow of flyers and posters about protests and events and calendars. And then additionally, there's the calendar of events, and which is also one day a week. All of the social centers call in, and they say what the events are of the week in their social center, and that's compiled into one calendar that they, again, all pick up in the same location once a week and have. And so it's actually an incredibly efficient and simple way of distributing information that for some reason really hasn't been picked up in a lot of other cities.
Yeah. I'm bringing it back more then to Miles. Could you just talk a little bit more about the range of activities that have been happening here, say, in the last half year?
In the last half year? Maybe you can ask a bit more about what's been happening in the last year and a half. I just came here about a half a year ago. It grew out of a much larger group, which was Miles de Viviendas, which is kind of split off into a million different projects, a lot of projects around housing, really creative uses of culture. It's a pretty dynamic group that has a lot of different models of operation. The most recent project, one of the large projects in the house, is this Universidad Pirata, which is this pirate university, which has, you know, maybe about 10 different blocks. 10 different blocks and courses in it. It's really growing right now. It's just sort of getting started, which is why it's really a shame that they're trying to evict us from this building. I hope that the UPE will find another home, and that I'll find another home as well.
Was there a TV program or project that happened recently also?
Yeah, one of the projects of the Pirate University is a pirate television station. Which is sort of a two-part block. One part is investigation into the sort of the technical mechanism of building a pirate TV transmitter in the neighborhood, and the other one is sort of starts sooner, which is basically the construction of a network of television production and distribution here in the neighborhood, in the Barceloneta, which is a fairly small neighborhood. It's a fairly tight-knit neighborhood, and it's a neighborhood that, again, is undergoing gentrification. Which basically it's called La Hostia TV or TV La Hostia, and La Hostia is like the shit, you know, it's like that, the Christos, the shit, but it's also a nickname for the neighborhood, thus it's the name of the TV program. And we've just finished compiling our first transmission, which is a DVD of about 50 minutes of different shows made about the neighborhood or in the neighborhood or by people in the neighborhood that we have been sort of playing in parallel in different sites, different bars mainly, at the same time in the neighborhood, and intend to continue showing them all around the neighborhood in public space, here in Miles, outside, on the street, and continue compiling shows and also trying to create a network of producers, like neighbors who have desires to make different shows, cooking shows, or shows about what's going on in the neighborhood or about the history of the neighborhood with other neighbors and people from outside as well who have, say, camera or editing expertise or access to technology. Basically starting on the level that if we don't have a transmitter, that doesn't mean we actually can't share media between us.
Yeah, and especially now with the internet as well, and streaming technology and the way that's moving, like, it's the whole mechanisms are changing very, very quickly.
Right.
But so if we could just, we've been talking, I suppose, about all the past and the more current present situation. But could I ask you now about the future and maybe to the best case scenario? How just for a moment, if we could say that, what would be the best thing to happen, or more so, if this project was to grow and if it was to influence more things and things were to take off, how would you see things starting to move or grow or change from what's happening at the present?
Here in Milis
and also further afield, like the Pirate University with the television, the wider communications, the people being excited by seeing things, by getting involved, what could this lead to?
Oh, well, there's a lot of different directions that I see things going that I hope get the chance to continue. There's a lot of seeds that have been planted that are, starting to grow. They're in their budding stage, and they're very beautiful, but they need to be cared for. My hope is that if not Milis, a new social center is created soon. I know that a lot of people here would love to stay in this neighborhood because we have a really strong relationship and strong affinity to the neighbors here and to this location, which has been really an incredible place to be, that we've learned a lot from and that we've gained a lot from being here. The intent to stay in the neighborhood if possible, and also continue fighting with the neighbors against the elevator plan, as they call it, the urbanistic plan in this neighborhood, seems like a very high priority. In terms of continuing with the UPE, I think that our strength is in creativity and in flexibility. I think one of the interesting things about self-organizing your education collectively and self-organizing a university as it is the fact that it can change. And one of the interesting things has been the degree of kind of transversality between the blocks, different people working on maybe starting from the question of the history of piracy, and another group looking at street theater or theater of the oppressed, and kind of coming to lines of transversal agreement about public space or about the city. A lot of that is super interesting. It's kind of the translation between blocks, in the sense that they might turn into each other, shift form. All of the blocks in the UPE definitely are also kind of about praxis. They're all of them involve some degree of practice and some degree of theory and some degree of experimentation, in terms of their discipline, right? And that's something that I think will continue, and we'll continue to be experimenting more with. And we have sort of begun to network ourselves with other self-organized universities around the world as well. And there's actually a huge amount of self-organized educational initiatives going on all over the world right now that are super, range from kind of small consciousness-raising groups, small groups of people who are getting together to teach themselves something, everything from alternative medicine and, healthcare and gardening to, really actually sort of large self-organized institutions that are autonomously controlled and free, that are, situated in the context of social struggles in Chile and Oaxaca, Los Angeles, New York, all over the place. And so continuing to inspire ourselves by other people who are also doing self-organized educational initiatives in the context of social movements, I think is something that will absolutely continue with the UPE, and I'm sure that we'll be transformed by that and inspired by that, and I hope that we also transform and inspire from, the model of what we've done so far.
That's a pretty succinct summing up of all of it, but it's, I suppose, I get the idea that what's, even though it looks, it's at a negative time at the moment because the space is under threat of the eviction and it's just waiting for a day soon when maybe under right cops are going to turn up. Anyway, that's another thing. But even though there's that sense of doom and gloom, on the positive side, like what you have been creating and these things that you're talking about, it seems that it's such a strong thing, and it does seem that it's just the very initial stages, that the initial links have been made between things and very strong connections have been formed, and ideas sparked, like really strongly sparked, that even if physically this place has to move and that will cause difficulty collective and having
absolutely
but
yeah.
still that there's a lot of so many strong things have been created that they can only grow and grow and grow, and those links between struggles, new experimental ways trees or use of space or whatever it is, that they're just, they're like those links are starting to connect further and further and a wider network all around this planet.
Absolutely.
And that from that, that can grow into something far stronger.
Definitely. Yeah? I mean, Vicente Barbaroja, one of the pirate philosophers here, you know, in the house in the Upe, always says that, you know, this isn't a building, or this is just a building, you know, but as opposed to being a building or beyond being a building, it's a pirate ship, you know what I mean? And as pirates, we can move, you know, we're flexible, we have that ability. It's the life that gets built here, you know, it's the energy that gets created, it's the, you know, the interaction between us and all of the collisions between all of us being very different, that kind of gets generated. The cross-pollination, you know, that's happening here, and so we, you know, our strength is flexibility. We will be able to move, and we've also been very lucky to be in one place and actually be still for two good years. So I think we've planted quite a bit of, you know, seeds and roots here in this neighborhood. So if we can remain in this neighborhood, it will be awesome. But you know, as opposed to actually feeling like doom and gloom right now, I'm actually totally full of incredible joy and inspiration. And since the moment that we received notice of our eviction, we've all really gone to work trying to save this place and resist, and also to communicate and continue everything that we've been doing. And it's kind of been an acceleration of, you know, all of the work of the past, and really a moment to sort of celebrate and, you know, put our best face forward and celebrate what it is that we have been doing, and to sort of take note of that, and thus the kind of explosion of activities that have been happening in the last week. I mean, we've been having at least like 3 events every day outside on the street, as well as doing all sorts of things inside the building, and working inside the building. And you know, some of those, I mean, there's just been so many events. There's been lots and lots of people coming through and lots of conversations. And it's, you know, Milis is really full of life right now. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's really, I feel incredibly, incredibly lucky to be here.
As well, you've also got a new little garden outside the front.
That's right. One of the things we did when they heard they were going to come evict us and destroy the building is we started a garden. Some of the wonderful people from Campascual came down, and they brought a bunch of dirt and they brought a bunch of seeds, and one of the neighborhood flower shops gave us some flowers, and we started a garden right here, basically, you know, basically to show what we're doing, you know, that this is the type of resistance that we're doing is militantly productive. You know what I mean? We're really growing things, so it's pretty beautiful.
I see. Well, we'll let you get back to your. What exactly is it you're doing with this Somos Miles? Now that you've explained a little bit about Miles, what's this going to end up doing?
Sí. Entonces, this is going to be a stencil that's going to be sprayed on, like I said, oversized underpants, panties, and we're going to make a whole bunch of panties that say Somos Miles, and we're going to give them out to all the neighbors that have been really supporting us a lot, so that they can hang them out to dry on their clothing lines around the neighborhood to show that they're in support of the neighborhood, and we're really actually sort of trying to put forward the old symbol of Milis, which is the, you know, clothing hanging on a line, which is a symbol of kind of an old way of living, of community, I think, of the city, of sharing space, of sharing a clothing line, of daily life, of being neighbors, being normal people as well, who live, you know, wash our clothing, we get dirty and we wash our clothing. We stretch it between buildings. Right now Aviva's hanging a clothing line between our building and the tree next door. And it's also something that has been recently made illegal by the city and the Civismo set of laws to hang your clothing out to dry. Part of their sort of plan to clean up some of the older ways of living that were some of the things that really make Barcelona a vibrant city. So that's our intent, is to make a lot of clothing right now and hang them out to dry and take them around with us, and also potentially use them in interventionist ways, depending on what happens with these lines of clothing. So hopefully the neighbors will hang the panties out to dry on their lines, and we're going to hang the panties out to dry on our lines, and we'll see what happens. I'm actually fairly hopeful.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time explaining.
Thank you.
And hopefully, well, whatever happens, happens, but so much has already happened, so thank you, and thanks to all of Miles for this, for offering so much hope, I suppose.
Yes, and thank you to you.